Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Everyone, call you blessed this morning. Happy New Year. And it's a brand new 2025 starting with Healing Center. Aren't you glad today? Aren't you glad that God's Word tells us what belongs to us? Amen. Well, you're going to be seated for the next few moments, so why don't we do something to kind of shake things up this morning and welcoming you this morning as well as everyone online. Why don't we stand and pray together this morning and expect to receive what heaven has for us. Father, we thank you and we praise you that you are good and your mercy does endure forever. We thank you for your word today. We believe that we have, by the Spirit of God, eyes to see and ears to hear. And we thank you today for what your Spirit says to us through your word, and that it will produce understanding and levels we never had before, so that we can obtain everything that's willed by you through Jesus Christ. And we give you the praise and give you the glory for it all now in Jesus' wonderful name. And we all agree that, say with that, amen. Praise God. Why don't you smile at your neighbor? Amen. Call them blessed to something. Amen. Because they are. Amen. And you may be seated. Want to welcome everyone today. Amen. And in starting a new year, a lot of times people wonder what's going to, you know, why, Pastor Chris, why are you here? Well, and starting a new year, we're going to be on Wednesday night doing a prayer series, and Pastor Debbie's going to be leading that. So you want to make sure you don't miss that. Having to know that just like healing is one of the legs of this ministry, so is prayer. And so she's going to be leading that teaching over the next, I believe, 6 weeks we've got planned on Wednesday night. So and while that's going on, I'll be here. Praise the Lord. Amen. But we thank God for the Healing Center team. I think we should put our hands together for all of them and everybody that makes this work. Amen. Praise God. And so what I'm going to be doing, my plan is, unless God shows me otherwise, is doing a series of messages over these next 6 weeks that I've entitled The Good Fight of Faith. And so I want to ask you this morning to open your Bibles with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 12. It says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you are also called, and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So what we're going to be talking about is understanding fighting the good fight of faith. And one person said it like this: the good fight of faith is called a good fight because a good fight is a fight you win. How many know it's not a good fight if you don't win? Praise the Lord. But it's called a good fight because the fight of faith was designed that you win. So what we're going to be actually doing is, from this verse over the next few weeks, is we're going to be looking at a number of important things of this and communicating it and actually unpacking certain aspects of it. But today, we're going to be taking a view of the new you, a view of the new you. So many of you take notes, and I praise God for that. And I'm entitling this message today, A New View of You. How many know it's important that we have the right view? And the right view is always God's view of you. You know, a lot of people have opinions of you, and you can have opinion of yourself. But until we have God's view of us, we come short of, and we will fall short of what God has for us. Amen. And so God's view of us is vital in our life as believers, and it will impact greatly what we will receive from God. Because what Satan will always try to do is make you believe through voices and suggestions in your head that comes from him and evil spirits, as well as people that he will use, because just like God uses people, Satan uses people. Satan will use people to say things and cause things to happen to you that always will make you feel less than what God's Word says about you. And whether we like that or not, that will affect what we believe about ourselves, and that will affect ultimately what we will receive from God. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 is a great story of this. This is the story of when God told the prophet Samuel to go and anoint the next king of Israel. Happen to know that Saul had messed up, and the kingdom was actually taken away from him. And God had told Samuel to go down to the house of Jesse, and there he would find the next king. Well, this shows this, that without God's sight and view upon things, even godly people can look the wrong place. And what the wrong place is, we look at the outward person instead of how God views us from the inside out. It says, but the Lord said to Samuel, look not on his countenance, on the height of his stature. Matter of fact, you know, in the Jewish culture, the firstborn would be the one that would naturally be looked to as the inheritor of the blessing. And so when the prophet went down, he saw the firstborn. He thought for sure this, by just looking the outward part of this Jesse's son, that this must have been God's choice. But God said to Samuel, look not on his countenance and on the height of his stature, because I refused him. The Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So this is showing us a very important principle, that the Lord sees not as man sees. Amen. So what we have to do concerning everything, especially concerning us, is to look at how God sees. Because whether you like it or not, every day we are faced with looking at ourselves in the mirror. And some of us, that may be more challenging than others. You know what I'm saying? Because invariably, here's the case. Everybody that's small wants to be bigger, and everybody that's bigger wants to be smaller, okay? And, you know, or there's plenty of people that are actually beautiful, and they struggle with that because they think they're ugly. So there's the things that we go through in life have a lot to do with the thoughts between our ears, amen? And the point that I'm making is that we have to learn what solves a lot of our problems, or most of our problems at least, if we will learn to see as God sees. And so that's where I want to begin today in sharing in this series, to teaching us to view ourselves the way God sees us, and why that's so important for us to receive from God. And since this is the Healing Center, you know, this is an area where that obviously God wants us to receive from Him in. That's healing. That's why we're here. But if we have the wrong view of ourselves, then it's going to hinder us to receive from God and what God has for us in our life, including healing. Because we're always thinking that we're not measuring up. And so we look once again here in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12 to the phrase, it says, fight the good fight of faith. And so this is where I really want to focus at today to begin this week. And then we'll, as each week goes, we'll unpack it, either continuing from where we were the week before or ultimately changing course a little bit about that. But it's all going to be unpacking what does it mean to fight the good fight of faith. And you'll find in the scripture, even though we may think it says something else, you will find when you look up the word fight, it always has to really do, it has to do with what we do with our minds and what we do with our bodies. That's the fight that we'll have to fight. The greatest problem you have is you. Amen. And a lot of times we blame everything on the devil, but when we find this out, really, the fight, the good fight of faith, you'll find the only fight the Christian or the believer is called to fight is the fight of faith. Is the fight of faith. You can look it up for yourself. You go to a concordance and look all those things up. So if I'm making that statement, let me qualify it for a moment. It says the only fight that the believer is called to fight is the fight of faith. Amen. And notice it didn't say we're to fight Satan. See, so many times we know that there is a battle going on over our souls. We know that. But it's not even calling us to fight Satan. Why? Because Jesus has already defeated him. And God wants us to see him as a defeated foe and operate from that place. We're not even called to fight sin because actually Jesus did something about sin. And all we have to do is to win over that is get the sinner to Christ. And the moment you do, you've defeated what sin was designed to do in the believer's life. Or in the world's life and in the believer's life. And so it is understanding what God's Word says about these things and really everything that gives us the victory that God has promised us in His Word. And so the fight of faith is, okay, really is this, the fight to stay in faith. Now, then this whole series, if you get nothing else, which I know you're going to get more, what the part that I want you to, that you'll find me going back to and focusing on, maybe not as much today as we will in some of the other messages, but you'll find we want to begin here, and everything is centered around in understanding the fight of faith is the fight really to stay in faith. Amen. So the good fight of faith is the fight to stay in faith because that is where the believer's victory lies. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says that whatsoever, that's really whosoever, you and I are whosoever's, whosoever are born of God. And how did you get born of God? Well, you got born of God the moment you made Jesus the Lord of your life, right? So whoever is born of God overcomes this world. And this is the victory that overcomes this world, even our faith. Amen. Praise God. And so notice the real fight of faith is the fight to stay in faith. Amen. Because when you stay in faith, there is no enemy that opposes you that can win. Because the real fight of faith is the fight to stay in faith. And when you are in faith and exercise your faith in God, you and I win. Amen. And so that is what we have to get straight, and this is why you hear me say it one time, you're probably going to hear me say it 100 times, but we need to get that comprehension, that understanding. I want us to begin by defining this word fight here one moment, because we kind of know what fight is. I mean, when I say the word fight, we can probably picture someone hitting someone or a intense struggle battle, and that would be true of both naturally and spiritually. But this Greek word is a word, is the Greek word, and I don't normally do this, but I'm going to do this today. It's spelled A-G-O-N. Agon, that may be how you pronounce it. For all you Greek scholars, don't throw a stone at me, okay? So it's A-G-O-N. Notice, the reason I want to say that is because notice, doesn't that sound just like a word that or a short for a word that we have in an English language, you know, it's called agony. So there is, in a fight, it implies there is a struggle. And so it's where we get that word agony from, but in the Greek it means a struggle or something or someone that is opposing you. It's an opposition. And so it's opposition to our faith is what it's talking about. And this word fight implies force or violence. It means a contest for victory as pertained, because during this time, during the Greek games of that Paul applies it to, of like running, boxing, and wrestling. And so in other words, it has to do with a contest for your faith. Okay? In other words, there's something opposing your faith. And this is why we must fight the good fight of faith, or the fight of faith is the fight to stay in faith. Paul plainly uses this word. He applies the word, implying there's a struggle in the Christian's life. And amen. And that is the fight of faith, the fight that is to stay in faith. That's the struggle that you and I are fighting, is the fight to stay in faith. If when we learn that we are actually victorious over Satan and victorious over his works, then we understand that that is not what we are really fighting. We are fighting the opposition that comes against that faith to keep us from operating, being in and operating in faith. Does that make sense? And this is the picture that this word is implying. It's a struggle, a contest. It even means, it's defined in the Greek language as the word contention. And when you define the word contention, it means a heated disagreement. You know, there is a heated disagreement constantly between these two ears that come against our mind to convince us that what God's word said could not be true about us. There's a heated argument going on, a disagreement many times that come against our mind to paint a picture or a view of you that's less than what God says about you. And you know that just as good as I know that. Amen. Or things that try to belittle you, distract you, or to take away from or to destroy your faith in God and your ability to stay in faith. And so one of the things that best illustrates this, I believe, or illustrates this in a different way, is in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Upon the first glance of this verse, as we read it, it sounds like it is saying something different than what I have just said. In other words, it seems contrary to what I've said. And what I've said is, the fight of faith is the fight to stay in faith. It's really, we're not called to fight Satan, even to call sin. They are both defeated. We have to keep them in their place, and how we do that is by the fight to stay in faith, because this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith in Christ. But notice this. Many people will hear that and say, well, that can't be true, because look here, it says, here's something that it says. Then we know this. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. And so how does this apply to what we say? Is this contrary if what I've told you is wrong? No, because what you must understand is what the word wrestle means. When you look up this Greek word, it means exactly that. It means to wrestle. So growing up, Pastor Deb and I used to be the youth leaders here and ministered youth over 12 years. And during that time, we had many of our guys in Matthews and even some in Gloucester were good wrestlers. And we would go to the wrestling matches because every year they went to state. Sometimes some won and those types of things. They were really great wrestlers, and it was fun to watch them. So when they wrestled, can you picture what they're trying to do? What you try to do in wrestling is throw someone from the position they're in. So what this is saying is these evil spirits that are defeated try to throw us from our faith. Our stance of faith is what they try to throw us from, because our stance of faith, our position of faith, is what we must do. In other words, they try to keep us from our faith when God says, fight the good fight of faith. The fight of faith is the fight to stay in faith. So these spirits wrestle or try to throw us from faith or our position of faith. This is what they're saying. And this is how you reconcile the two together. Because these are the forces that work to throw one from that faith. Amen. And that's what's illustrated by this word. Therefore, to stay in faith for us and not to be thrown or moved from one's faith is what the fight of faith really is. So we're never thrown from it. We may have opposition. We may be in this struggle, but the whole struggle is all about not us winning over them as much as it's really them throwing us from our position of our faith, which is victory already that we possess in Jesus Christ. That's good preaching. But this is the truth, and we must know that and see it from this way. So if there's a fight to faith, there are, and this is where I want to talk about today, if there are naturally enemies to faith. Amen. Or you could say hindrances to faith. So if there's a fight to faith, I'm going to say it again, there are naturally enemies to faith, and there are naturally hindrances to faith. Okay? Well, it's easy for us to say that they are these things right here. See, these things right here, evil spirits, are trying to throw us from our faith. But what we must understand, they are enemies. There's no doubt about it. But the greatest hindrance and the greatest enemies to our faith is what we're going to learn today. Amen. These things, the enemies or the hindrances, are the things that keep us from being in faith or to work to throw us from our faith. But what we must understand is what Romans 10:17 says. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So this means this, that a lack of knowledge of God's word is the greatest hindrance or the greatest enemy to our faith that we have. The lack of knowledge of God's word. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so the only way we can actually get faith is by hearing the word of God, is connected back to that. So it means our greatest hindrance or our greatest enemy to our faith, which we have, is a lack of knowledge of God's word. Amen. And so Hosea 4:6 lets us know this. It says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. They're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So this lack of knowledge is what the enemy works all the time really about. That's what he uses. That is his, if the devil can convince us to keep us from the knowledge of God, or to pervert the knowledge of God, or to keep that from coming to us, that's our greatest enemy. It's all by how then? By getting correct knowledge. Isn't that right? And so this is why Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so naturally then, if faith comes by hearing the word of God, then it follows that a lack of knowledge of God's word will certainly produce a lack of faith. No knowledge, no faith. No knowledge of God's word, no faith. So therefore, naturally, it is a enemy. Amen. And so what we must learn and know is this, is how faith comes. And how does it come? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But we must know how it also doesn't come. Because as early believers, and sometimes not just young believers do this, we know that faith, there's a struggle for our faith. It doesn't have to be, but this is a fight, the good fight of faith. So remember once again, the battle is to stay in faith. So that means there's something to trying to keep us from the stand of faith, or staying in faith, trying to get us to move from our faith all the time. Amen. And so one of the things we have to know is how faith comes. We know how it comes, by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But we also need to know, as believers, don't be deceived, we need to know how it doesn't come as well. Amen. And so as believers, do you know that we never ask or pray for faith? Because that's not how it comes. It's unscriptural to ask or pray for faith. It's very natural for us to get in prayer and heartfelt say, God, I just need more faith. or I pray and I'm asking for it. But that's unscriptural. We never have to pray or ask for faith, because if we do, we're praying misguided. We're frustrating the grace of God, and we're frustrating our own hearts, because that's not how faith comes. If we need faith, the answer is what? Knowledge, His Word. Knowledge of His Word. Faith comes by hearing what God has said. And know this, we must treat what God's Word says to us as such, as God talking to us, in order for it to work for us in our lives. I'm going to say that again. Faith comes by hearing what God has said, but we must treat it as such in order for it to produce faith, or for faith to work, or the Word to work for us in our lives. Because until we really treat God's Word as Him talking to us, it cannot produce faith. In other words, this is why it's so important that we believe in the absolute authority of the Scripture. Because when we don't believe in the absolute authority of the Scripture, we are saying the Word is something other than God is talking to us. It takes a lesser place. And it takes the place, it has to take the place of absolute authority, or God talking to us, to produce faith. In other words, in order to produce faith in God. So real faith, or genuine faith, or the God kind of faith, accepts God's Word as God speaking to it. It accepts God's Word. I can read this whether I hear you say it or I hear myself say it or read it. I must learn to accept what God's Word says as God talking to me. Then when I do, it can produce faith in my heart. See, then you personalize it, because now God's talking to you. It's not what God, the pastor said, or this person said. Until you personalize it, and really personalize it from the position of, my God has said this to me, and this is God talking to me, that's when it produces genuine faith. Can I get an amen? And so, we gotta believe that God's Word is God talking to us. After all, that's exactly what it is. So you can say it like this. I like to say it like this. To faith, God's Word is God speaking to it. To faith, God's Word is God speaking to it. Amen. And so it's knowledge that we all need. That's what we need. This is not new to you. For most of you in this healing center, this has been said so many times, but you know what? It's not what you have heard, it's what you are hearing that changes your life, because we have a tendency to let stuff slip. And you know what? We're always looking for the something new to be our answer, when the truth is, it's built upon the foundation of eternal truth of God's Word. We build everything else on that. Jesus is the foundation. He is the Word. And so His Word is unchanging. And so this is where we don't, many times we don't need something new. We just need to act on what we already know, have already heard. And we need to receive it as just what God's Word says. It takes us to the place of faith and enables us to fight the good fight of faith, which is the ability to stay in faith. Or to fight the good fight of faith, it means what? It means is the fight to stay in faith. Praise God. And so it is knowledge that we need. It is the knowledge of God's Word. And if we receive His knowledge, His Word, we receive or will have faith. See, when I say if we receive the knowledge, receive means you take that to yourself. You personalize. You say, that's mine. That's God talking to me, and that's mine. When you receive it or accept it or take it to yourself, you have faith. Because you have received it as God talking to you. See, don't let your mind talk you out of something else. See, faith is not a feeling. Faith is knowing what God said and accepting it as such. Yep. It's trusting what God has said to you, as if the moment it is, faith is there. And so many times we're looking for something else. We're looking for a feeling. But we're not called, nowhere in the Bible, we're called to walk by feelings. Matter of fact, every example in the Bible that we see people that walk by feelings or sight got deceived. It's walking by faith. Amen. If we don't receive knowledge, and when I say knowledge, I mean God's knowledge, His Word, we won't ever have faith, because that's the way faith comes. It comes by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. So our faith grows. Our faith can grow because the Word of God says it can grow. And, Paul said to the church of Thessalonica that their faith grew exceedingly. And so faith can grow. But here's how faith grows. It grows the same way that it always has grown. It grows by our knowledge and our understanding of God's Word. It grows by our knowledge and our understanding of God's Word. Now, I want to stop here for a moment, because I haven't changed what I said. I just further defined it. We know faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I just said our faith grows by our knowledge and our understanding of God's Word. So let's talk about that for a moment, because I've added understanding to our knowledge. Okay? I didn't tell them to do this, but here's a great verse. In Proverbs chapter 4, we can just turn there and write this down. Proverbs 4:7, it says, wisdom is the principal thing. You know what wisdom is? Wisdom is the correct application of knowledge. Wisdom is the correct application of knowledge. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. With all your getting, get understanding. Okay? So, notice I said, and I'm going to keep saying it, and define this or further explain this today. Our faith grows by our knowledge and our understanding of God's Word. This is why it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I believe that it proves out by Scripture, and I'm going to prove it to you today, that when it is the same Greek word, hearing and hearing, in Romans 10:17. But I believe that we are not taken away from by me what I'm getting ready to say. I believe I'm further defining to help us to what the original Greek says. So if we said it like this, faith comes by hearing and understanding by the Word of God. In other words, faith comes by hearing and understanding what you heard. You know what that's called? Revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge. Because I'll tell you why it has to mean that. Because how many times have you ever heard the Word of God, the same word, and all of a sudden you heard the same word again, and all of a sudden the light bulb came on and you saw something different from it than you ever saw before? It was no less knowledge, but now you had understanding. It is called revelation knowledge. So even though God's Word is God's knowledge, epinosis, it is what that word implies is revealed knowledge, precise, real knowledge that produces a spiritual understanding in our lives. Because, you know, the same person could hear me say, by Jesus' stripes you are healed. That's God's Word. That's knowledge. But it's not until we understand it spiritually that we can really, it works for us and applies to our life. In other words, you could the first time you heard it, you could actually see and understand that in your mind and in your heart that God wants you well. But it's not until you really understand that God wants you well that you're going to be well. Amen. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hearing what? Hearing God's Word, knowledge, and understanding it. Amen. And so, let's look at this. It's hearing and understanding. And it's the knowledge of God's Word and our understanding of it. That's revelation knowledge. So, you could say it like this. Faith grows by our knowledge and our understanding of God's Word. Let me prove that to you today. Can I prove that to you today? Faith grows by our knowledge. This is why this class is so invaluable, because it produces over time, and it can the first time you hear it. But it what it does is it produces an understanding of the healing word, so that we are strong in the Lord and His power of His might. We're strong in what God's Word says concerning healing, because as long as we live on this earth, we live in a fallen world, and that there are things there to attack our bodies, there are things to attack our minds, there are things to attack our lives. And we're going to need God's Word and His healing Word to keep us to fight the good fight of faith, or is the fight to stay in faith. That's going to allow us to stay in faith and not be thrown from our faith. Because that's what the devil's working to do, to throw us from our faith. There's a big difference than from being the champion and being the challenger. That means this. There's a difference between fighting from the victory than fighting for the victory. Or fighting with the victory and not trying to get it. Most people are trying to get it when God says as believers that you already got it. And so it is understanding what God said that allows us it's the knowledge of it, but not knowledge alone. It's the knowledge that produces of it that produces understanding, because the Holy Spirit teaches us this word. It's not complicated. It's that spiritual understanding. In other words, there's things that your spirit knows that your mind may not know. Your mind may not be able to figure out everything spiritually, but on the inside, what I'm telling you, you're jumping up and down on the inside. When your spirit just embraces this and says, that is truth, but my problem is my mind. My mind's trying to tell me something different. That's all of our problem. Why? Because it's trying to throw us from our faith, but our faith is of our heart. It's not of our mind anyway. And the understanding that God's Word produces is a spiritual understanding, not some mental understanding alone, a spiritual understanding. That's why your spirit can be jumping up and down, and you can walk out the door, and the first place you are attacked is in your mind. I remember Brother Norval Hayes, he's in heaven now. He said his daughter had all these growths that come up on her body. And they prayed. He's a minister of the gospel. How many ever heard of Norval Hayes? He's a wild man. Praise the Lord. He wrote the book and did the tape series, How to Live and Not Die, one of the greatest books. Amen. We have a couple of people that are alive today in this church, because during the COVID, all that craziness, we had a couple of people that were said, they were basically given up on. And they said they'll never work again and all this. Their lungs were damaged, and you couldn't even get in to see them. I got in to see them and got that book and said, here's what you do. I said, you're going to read this every day. You're going to read this every day, and you're going to go online and listen to every one of his messages of How to Live and Not Die. And you can listen to them over and over again. And both of those people today are alive and well and back at church, and back not only at church but back working. And they said they would never work. The medical field said they would never work again based upon the damage in their lungs. One of these gentlemen, he's not a young man anymore. And the truth is, if we're living, we're all getting older. Okay, so I'm not throwing stones, but he's not a young man anymore. And he worked in a landscaping business in the hot sun this summer every day. So you know he's healed. Amen. And so here's a great, so I'm going back to his story. And his daughter had all these lumps that come up on her body. And he's preaching the gospel. And he knows what Mark 11:22 says, have faith in God. Verse 23, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things whatsoever he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Well, his daughter wasn't really living for God, and he was trying to get her healed. Okay, but she's a teenager. She's like sometimes teenagers go through a little pushback, a little rebellious area and everything. He was trying to get her healed. But the Lord caught him up to heaven. And here's what the Lord said to him. Now listen to what I'm getting ready to say. The Lord said, how long are you going to put up with those growths on your daughter's body? Now that's what the Lord said. How long you're going to put up with it? Because she's still a young child under his care in the house, or a young teenager. And that's what the Lord asked him. And he fumbled around. Well, Lord, what do you mean? And he says, how long are you going to put up with it? And then he took him to the scripture, Mark 11:23. He said, you got to speak to it. You got to speak to it. And he said, you know, when I was in heaven with the Lord right before me, and the Lord said those things, it shook me. But he says, when he said that to me, it was like the greatest peace and the greatest calm. He says, I had no doubt in my heart or mind that I could come back and curse those things and they would die. Like Jesus said, you curse them and they'll die at the root. He said, I had no doubt that would be. He said it was the easiest thing to believe. He says, when he came back to his body, as he came back to his body and entered to his body, he said that while he got close to his body and jumped it back into his body through his mouth, he said all of a sudden there was the reality of this world. And his mind was the first thing that got bombarded. And what was easy to believe back there in heaven now became totally different, because now he wasn't in the spirit. He was in the flesh and he was dealing with this mind. So he says, I know what it's like. That he said, the moment I came back, there was the battle right there. There it was in the mind. In the mind, there it is right there. And so we have to understand. So he ran in and told his daughter that what Jesus said, and he cursed those things, and all those things left her body. Okay? But the point that I'm getting at is that this part about we have to understand, we have to have understanding, and it's a spiritual understanding. And we can have, when we have a spiritual understanding, we have a peace and a heart even when there's turmoil going all around us. This is why the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 and 3, looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, for consider him. So faith considers Jesus over its own circumstance and situation. Faith considers Jesus over what its body telling us, or what our mind is telling us, or what our body is feeling, or what our body or eyes are seeing. It has to consider Jesus and what he has done for us and said for us. And how many know that's going to come from a spiritual understanding? And we can have a spiritual understanding. And Brother Hagin would always say this. He said, faith will work on in your heart with doubt in your mind. You just got to get that doubt out. You can't leave it there. In other words, you got to address it. You got to address it, because it will try to be stronger than the faith in your heart. In other words, when the doubts arise, don't be moved by that. Just address it. So say, no, that's not what I believe. Here's what I believe. Get back over in the spirit and believe it. The word is always in the spirit. It's a spiritual force. Jesus said in John 6:63, the word of God is spirit and it's life. So it's spirit and it's life, or it's spirit and it's life-giving, because it's a spiritual force. And everything that God does and works, it begins in the spirit, and it's manifested in this flesh. Everything that's in this realm came from that realm. Yep. And so that's how it's going to work. And we have to understand that. So don't let a few crazy thoughts discourage you or make you feel like you're always a doubter. You just got to address that and know what the word says. So how do you address it? Well, you don't address it with just more thoughts. You speak something. You say what the word says about it. You say, no, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. Right. Come on. You say, but it comes from a knowledge and an understanding of God's word. Amen. And so I'm going to make this statement again, and then we're going to go, because remember, we're talking about today, and we're probably going to talk about it again next week now, a new view of you. It does make a difference how you view yourself. And so if our faith grows by our knowledge and our understanding of God's Word, let's say it like this. First of all, our understanding of our salvation and the new birth. How many know that that's pretty important? Yeah. Our understanding of redemption is pretty important. Our understanding of righteousness, very important. Our understanding of our place in Christ and His place in our lives. Our understanding of the redemptive right of divine healing. That's what we're talking about today. Okay? And our understanding of how to act on God's Word. And so it's a lack of understanding of knowledge and understanding, a lack of knowledge and understanding of any area of our life, including healing, that is an enemy to our faith. That is what's the enemy to our faith. That's the greatest enemy to our faith. The lack of knowledge and the lack of understanding of what God's Word says. And it will certainly rob and hinder us, amen, and it's what Satan uses to actually rob us of our faith. Our lack of knowledge and our lack of understanding, Satan knows, will actually be the greatest hindrance to our faith. And so he'll use that against us. So this is why he works to keep us from knowing what God's Word says and from understanding what God's Word says, having revelation knowledge of that. He works hard. This is why I applaud you from week after week for coming to this class, or week after week tuning in and listening to it either now online or later, because it is important to our life. Amen. So a lack of knowledge and understanding in any area of our life, including healing, will produce a place where Satan can rob us of our faith. Amen. And this is exactly how Satan works. Okay, let me prove it to you. Why it's faith comes by hearing knowledge, hearing God's Word, hearing and understanding the knowledge we have. Okay, so in everybody remember the parable of the sower? Everybody remember that? Mark chapter 4, Matthew chapter 13, and Luke chapter 8 tell the same story. The awesome thing about it is that we find a little bit different parts in each one. Okay, so if you remember that it's the parable of the sower, there's four types of people or four types of hearts or ground. That God's Word, what is unchanging, God's Word is always the same. It's all powerful, almighty. But Jesus taught us that dependent upon what ground the seed is sowed in will determine what kind of fruit the Word actually produces in our life. And there was only one type of ground that produced fruit, and that was the ground that was called good ground. And when you study it out, it means that ground accepted what God's Word says and applied it to its life. So in order to be good ground, we have to know what God's Word says, we have to accept it, and we have to apply it to our lives. That's good ground. But there's three other types of ground that always get less than what God designed it to give. So turn with me. I want to prove faith comes by hearing and understanding the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, Jesus explains the first type of ground. And so as you go there, before we read this together, Jesus had just told them that the first type of ground was the ground that the seed was kind of thrown along the path. In other words, it's a path that's well-worn, and the seed is just thrown down, and he said that the birds of the air came and ate it up. So it never produced any fruit because it got eaten up, okay? Now, he said that, And we could say, well, what in the world did he mean? Aren't you glad that Jesus told us what he meant by that? He told the parable. And when we read Mark chapter 4, it says and explains it. Luke chapter 8 explains it. But Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, tells us exactly the best picture of this. It says, when anyone hears the word of God or heareth the word of the kingdom, that's the word of God, and say it with me, understands it not. Say it with me, understands it not. If we don't understand it, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. So Satan's goal is for us not to understand what we hear. That's his goal. And he don't want you to hear the word. But what he really don't want is the next step is you to understand that word. Because the moment you understand it, his jig is up. His jig is up. Because when we don't understand it, it's stolen. So this is why I'm saying, everybody say understanding. So this is why knowledge and understanding in all these areas are key to us from receiving from God. Because we got to understand what we hear, and it's a spiritual understanding. To understand that it's a spiritual understanding. What God reveals to our spirit, light comes to our spirit, and then it comes to our mind. And we say, oh, I see that now. Amen. You might not even be able to always explain it perfectly, but there it produces a peace, it produces a confidence, it produces a knowing of what God says and a believing of it. Amen. Faith comes by, notice it says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catch away the word that was sown in his heart, and this is he which received the seed by the wayside. So it is how Satan works. And it's removing these enemies. It's removing the enemy of a lack of knowledge and a lack of understanding. Amen. Of God's word. It's removing the enemy and the hindrances of the lack of knowledge of God's word and our understanding of it, because it is that wrestle or fight against or contend with us to rob us of our faith in God. And the real fight of faith is the fight to stay in faith. That's why the real fight of faith is just simply the fight to stay in faith. Amen. Because faith is the victory that overcomes the world. So Satan knows he has to hinder us from staying in faith, because if we stay in faith, he will be defeated in our life. He's already defeated by Jesus. So the potential for everyone's freedom is already there. But it won't be in application until we know and understand it and apply it in our life. It's not that it's not true. It just won't work for you any other way. That's how it worked for Jesus, and how it works for us. This is how and what the Word of God says, and we got to know it. This is why the things of God just don't fall on us like ripe cherries off a tree. Think about it for salvation. We had to hear the message of salvation and then understand it to a degree. We might not understood everything about it, but you understood this, that this is how to get saved. If I want to be right with God and have peace with God, you have to receive Jesus Christ. And when you heard that and understood it and acted on it, that's when it worked for you. It's not that it didn't have power before. It's not that it wouldn't work for the whole world before. It just won't work for anybody that does not either know it and understand it to apply it to their life. This is why Satan works so hard against our knowledge and understanding of God and his word. And this is why the greatest enemy and hindrance to our faith and fighting the good fight of faith is our lack of knowledge and understanding of God's Word. That's exactly what Satan uses against us. And so that just means this. If we have knowledge and understanding of God's Word, there ain't nothing he can do to stop us if we will apply that Word. Because that is stronger, that is greater, and that is truth, and that always wins.
It does.
That's good news for us. I said that's good news for us. Amen. And so, let me give you an example. So, I said, it's removing these enemies. I only got a few minutes left today. Praise the Lord. So it's removing these enemies or hindrances, the lack of knowledge and of God's Word and our understanding of it, because that is what wrestles and fights against and contends with us to rob us of our faith. Because the real fight of faith is the fight to stay in faith. This is why you and I must have, and this is, we're going to end with some of these things today, and we'll have to pick up next time right here. And this is where I want to get to today, and we just get there now. So no surprise to many of you. Praise the Lord. But this is why you and I must have a new, you must have a new view of you. Or a view of the new you. Amen. The one that God has. So let me give you an example of this in the few minutes that we got left. Okay. It is, and give you an example of how a lack of knowledge and understanding of what the new birth is. Now, I'm not even talking about healing right now. But if you have a lack of, I'm going to give you an example. If you have a lack of knowledge and understanding of what the new birth is and what it gives us, how that will negatively affect us and hinder our faith. Because the devil will be able to rob from us. Because when we, listen, what happens in people's lives, and this is why this ties into healing, because we cannot constantly live under condemnation, guilt, and shame of our past, and expect that faith to work for us. You know it. And every person in this room at some time has dealt with something in their life that has brought condemnation, guilt, shame, regret, all because of our past. But if we live in that place, instead of the place of faith, if we live in that place, it'll rob us of our faith and keep us from fighting the good fight of faith. I submit to you today, maybe not you, but the reason why many Christians never receive healing from God or never entertain the thought that God is a healer, or if he is, he can't be for them, is because of this very fact. If they would know and understand the reality of the new birth and what salvation is actually means and brought to them, then it would close the door on the guilt and the condemnation that and the regret of our past, our mistakes, our sins, even the ones that, I'm talking about things that we have already repented of and put under the blood of Jesus. But because we don't understand that, we don't understand the place of the new birth and God's power to forgive us and make us new, then we are constantly dealing with things that happened to us 5, 10, 15, 20, 40 years ago. And it keeps us, whether we want to understand it or not, until we get rid of that, many times we'll never receive a healing because we're thinking we have to be worthy. And all these things, all this condemnation, all this guilt, all this shame, all the things that happen to us, Satan uses to hinder us, and because they will rob us of our faith and they will affect us negatively. So let's today, I need to stop right there. And when we pick up next week, we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17. But if you're like me, that don't get old, because there's every day of my life, every day of my life, I look at that verse and meditate upon it. Because it is my knowledge and understanding, just like your knowledge and understanding of the new birth and what salvation has brought and what it means to us, that actually enables us, our knowledge and understanding of that actually enables me to fight the good fight of faith. In other words, the fight to stay in faith. Because I'm not allowing condemnation, guilt, fear of my past, inferiority, shame, and all the condemnation that the devil has brought upon me because of my mistakes of my past, even the things that have been put under the blood of Jesus already. I want us to know if they're still messing with us, is it means that we don't have the knowledge and understanding of salvation that we possess, the new birth and the salvation and what it means that we should have. This is why we have to have the knowledge and understanding of it, because when we do, we don't live in our past. We don't let that bother us anymore, and we understand when those thoughts return, that's the devil, and that's a lie, and they no longer exist. And if they no longer exist in the mind of God, why are they existing in your mind? And until you have the new view of you that God has of you, then you have the old view. And that's why we live in condemnation and guilt, because you've not allowed the knowledge and understanding of God's word to affect the knowledge that you had about who you were instead of who God says you are. And as long as you view you from who you used to be and what you have done, even if you put it under the blood and allow that to come back and haunt you or condemn you or not cause you to act on the word or see yourself different other than God sees you, because God only sees you in Christ. He only sees you in Christ. Do you see yourself in Christ? And you know, that's the hardest thing, because we can look at ourselves in the mirror and say, well, how could God see me in Christ? I'm just telling you, you're going to have to come back next week. Praise the Lord. And when you accept how God sees you and start seeing you that way, that's when your faith rises, because it is the correct knowledge and the correct understanding that produces faith. It is correct knowledge and understanding that produces faith in you. And that's how you can stand against those things. You are who you are. I am who I am. And every believer is who they are because of who they are in Christ. And that's how we receive and walk in the victory. And that's the only fight we're to fight. The fight to stay in faith. That's the fight we're to fight. The fight to stay in faith. Because that is what the devil is trying to do, to throw us from our faith, to get us to move from the position of what God says we have and who God says we are. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet and make this confession together today. Let's do this. Has this helped? It ain't hurt. Hallelujah. I have the mind of Christ. I am a new creature in Christ. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, even those online need to be saying this. Now, say this with me. I have the mind of Christ. I'm a new creature in Christ. I have knowledge and I have understanding. And because I act on the word, and because I'm a doer of the word, because I have a new view of me, I receive what God has for me. I am the saved. I am the redeemed. I am the healed. By Jesus' stripes, I am healed. By Jesus' stripes, I am healed. I no longer am who I used to be. My past is forgiven. My future is bright. I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have. And I'm going to live and act that way. Thank you for my freedom, Lord. Thank you for my freedom, Lord. Come on, lift your voices and just begin to thank Him and praise Him today. Lord, we give You glory. We give You honor as I call the people of...
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.